Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, I'm going to talk about, literally and figuratively, hitting a wall. I've been in a relationship for about a year and a half with a wonderful woman, and have been exploring a polyamorous lifestyle. Not massively promiscuous, not expressing it in all sorts of ways, but within our relationship, we also have the openness to explore other lovers. And this is a new thing for me. I've had most of my relationships in my life have been non-monogamy, some sort of primary relationship that has opportunities for play at times with certain restrictions on them. Often the sexuality that's outside of my primary relationship is purely sexual. I had a relationship where one of our rules was if I have a sexual experience, it needs to be a one-night stand. It's simply a adventure, a sexual sharing with another person, with total honesty, explaining that I have another partner and that this will be a single experience, because that partner was comfortable sharing me physically but did not want to share me emotionally. So this new adventure I'm on, where I am allowing my partner to share their emotional and self and their heart with another person, other people, and I am encouraged to share my heart with other people, has been exciting at times, has been frustrating at times. You know, people say that polyamory is hard work, and I have learned that to be true. People have also said that it is a powerful tool for self-growth, and I've also learned that to be true. So, last night we had a date, and I was very excited for this date. I was feeling very hungry for her, and we had all sorts of plans for the night, intimacy, and I had a blindfold set out. I had candles lit. I had cuffs at the ready. And when she came in, she shared with me the sexual experiences that she had had since we had last seen each other, which I appreciated. So as she shared these things, she also asked, like, how much details you want, and how would you like me to share these things with you? And in the past, we've kind of had a system of, like, I want to know pretty much as soon as possible, within reason. But we didn't have, like, a rule. And as we talked, and as she's sharing this, I was able to communicate. We were able to have some positive progress as I was, you know, saying that, you know, I would actually, I think, prefer to get this announcement via a text message so that I can process it before our date. Because now, our quality time together, I need to kind of, like, sit with this and process it. Because some people in these types of relationships, you know, are excited by the thought of their lover with another lover. I am not. I'm okay with it. I usually have an initial sense of frustration or ego or something and a tenseness. And then I chill it out, and then I remember that I love her and I want her happy, and I remember all of the freedom that we have in our relationship and how much trust is in there, and this is part of that trust and that depth of love. And I kind of get to the other side, and I'm excited for her, happy for her, and happy for us. But I... you know, it does take me a second to kind of process it. You know, they call that process compersion, of going through the tension and then finding joy in another's joy. And I find that to be, you know, my process. Some people, you know, need to have that conversation face to face. I think that I've decided that I would rather go through my compersion alone so that I don't bring any of my frustration. And then, you know, I said, tell me what, you know, I don't want to know any details. I want to know who you slept with and who you go on dates with. And then I would love it if you offered the opportunity to ask more if I wanted to know more. So that, you know, we just can keep the dialogue going if I want to. But I don't really want to, you know, have a whole story. And I don't really want to spend a ton of energy of our connection talking about her connection with other people. And so as she was telling me about the details, or some details about the experience, not the sexual nitty-gritty, but, you know, kind of the how things happen and why she made the decision to be with these people, at some point I expressed that, you know, I didn't, you know, I don't need to know any details, I think. And I kind of gave some indications I thought that I had heard enough. And that's not what she heard. And so she continued going. And eventually I stood up and walked to the window and looked out, and kind of, because I was like starting to feel a little triggered. And I said, like, can we change the topic to us? And she said, well, let me just, you know, get to the point on this. You know, and I was, in my mind, I had just expressed that I wanted this, you know, I needed us to be done with this topic, but I didn't say it clearly and she didn't hear it clearly. And so I guess later at we were having dinner, and she was telling me stories about some other person that she had gone some dates with. They weren't intimate, but she was talking through some of the feelings that were a part of this, these interactions that were not intimate, and what that, how that made her feel. And at some point I started to feel like, I don't want to talk about their other relationships anymore. And I think I said again, can I change the topic? And she said, well, let me finish my point. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, we were all the way home, and I had not, you know, she was still explaining the situation, and I was now getting frustrated and angry. And I turned on the TV, just, I did not want to talk anymore. And then she started asking me some questions about our relationship. And by this time, I was now, and I was clear enough to say, you know what, I'm not feeling heard right now. I'm feeling frustrated. This is a bad time to be talking about our relationship and asking me to talk about our future, because I'm feeling like really frustrated right now and unheard. And she kept asking me some questions, and I got tense and frustrated, and I threw my jacket against the wall. We yelled back and forth a little bit, and I said, I need to cool off. And I walked outside and hung out on a bench in the cold night until I cooled down. And then, you know, I came back in, and I apologized for losing my temper, and I apologized for the times that I make things difficult, and I apologized for whatever I could think of. And then we kissed and we made up and everything was fine. And then later in the night, she was telling me about some errands that she needed to run to get some things that she needed for other lovers. And I was kind of like, I don't want to hear that right before bed. And she started explaining to me why she thought maybe I would want to know that. And I was like, I need more, and I'm trying to practice my communication. She's a very clear communicator, and I am more nuanced, so I'm trying to be clear and trying to use my words. And I'm like, I need you, when I express that I need something relating to lovers and you know, if I need you to be more sympathetic. I need you to, like, say, oh, okay, sorry, let's. And she said, well, but, and she started explaining why, and I said, but see, I when I'm triggered, I need you to. And she goes, well, you never said that you were triggered. And I'm like, okay, that's true. You know, I said, can we change the topic to us? And I said, I got it. But I did not say the words that she needed to hear. And so she said, you know, if you say I'm triggered, and if you say I don't need to hear anymore, or I've heard enough, and as we're having this conversation, I'm getting more and more frustrated, and and feeling like what I really need is for her to say, okay, I hear you. Let's drop this. I love you. Thank you for listening. You know, let's focus on us. But she wanted to explain, and she wanted to explain why my communication did not register for her. And I lost it again. I was brushing my teeth at the time, and I slammed the toothbrush into the wall, and it broke, and I slammed it again, and I started yelling, and then I said, I need to cool off. And I walked back out to that bench, and I sat down in the cold, and I started thinking, and, you know, and as frustrated as I was, I realized that, you know, I'm projecting the way I hear onto her. And I'm expecting her to read my cues in a way that I would read them. I'm expecting her to hear my, well, can we change the focus to us? To me, that's a clear, you know, it's a tactful, subtle, but, you know, I'm giving my social cue that I'm done with this conversation, but I didn't say I was done with this conversation. I didn't say I was triggered. Me getting up and looking at the window, I didn't say I was triggered. And so as someone who is a much clearer communicator, she expects people to be clearer communicators. So as frustrated I was like, you know, if I can take myself out of my need to be right, because I'll tell you, I definitely in the moment felt very right. But if I can take myself out of that need to be right, and try to experience it the way she's experiencing it, I understand. And so, you know, I texted her from outside saying, like, you know, I understand. I understand that I was not clear, and I appreciate now that we have some vocabulary that we've agreed upon means certain things. And I'm going to work on not expecting you to hear things the way I would. And I'm also going to ask you to, when I do use these words, to really be attentive and stand down when you hear me say those things. And she agreed. And, you know, I came inside and we kissed each other and, you know, tried to go to bed. And, you know, as I'm going to bed, I'm just feeling so ashamed that I have divots in the wall. I end up like my finger is all bruised and throbbing. And hand is all messed up. Tweaked my back a little bit from my outburst. It's like just shame. And I thought back, you know, people say that polyamory is difficult and complicated. And I said, yeah, I think I agree. And they also say that it has awesome opportunities for growth. And I say, yeah, I think I agree. So it's so wild to have this fluctuation of anger and compassion and shame, and also through it all, on the other side of it, it's like, I want to stay angry. I want to be right, but I also know that all of this tension and frustration that I felt are opportunities for me to grow. Opportunities for me to find areas where there's dissonance between me and someone I care about, and opportunities to be more patient or more direct or more clear. And so I'm super grateful for having a partner that pushes me and gives me this classroom, and also allows us to move forward. You know, when I came back inside, you know, with the echoes of my yelling and the divots in the wall, and, you know, she did not force me to be guilty and force me to own up to my struggle. She, her goal was to, you know, find harmony together. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that, you know, as I get on with my years, I still have so many opportunities to learn. What a gift this adventure of living is, and what a powerful teacher the people in our life can be. Oh, relationships and love. Thank you. Now, if my finger will just stop tingling and feeling numb, I'll be able to move forward and hope that the healing of my body and my heart and my mind all goes smoothly. I'll just assume, yes, I'm on my way to perfect health, internally, externally. So, whatever relationships are in your life, I hope that they are giving you all the lessons that you need and want, hopefully without the dips into physical outbursts. But that's where I'm at. So thanks for listening and hearing me. I love you. Laura saying that it's hard to admit that you aren't right all the time. I think that's my biggest fault. I need to be right. Whew, that's a tough one. One of the things that it's part of my practice is trying to understand that my concept of right is the result of my experiences and my chosen input, whether it's media or people that I hang out with, and so my concept of right is partially based on my actual experiences in the world, but partially based on a diet of stimulus of parenting and media and all sorts of stuff. And so as I grow, as I become wiser, I become more and more aware of the limitations of my own perspectives. I become less and less confident in my own thoughts and beliefs the older I get. And which is what enabled me last night, as I was stewing in my anger and my righteousness, to let go of it and release that and go, I'm absolutely right and justified from my perspective. But this is a scenario that has multiple perspectives. So can I release the narrative that I am digging into and pay attention to the other narrative? Now, I might not agree with the other narrative. I might not go, oh, you're right. But by suspending the absolute confidence that I have in my own worldview, my own experience, I can at least try on the other person's experience, see how they could see it as true, see how they could see it as equally as righteous. And it allows me to release and lessen, you know, my attachment. And I think that that's required in the world today, you know, to have compassion and to have love for people that see the world very differently. It requires letting go of the righteousness. Jennifer saying, I need to be reminded that people don't process what I'm saying the way I do. Thanks for the thoughtful reminder. Isn't that, you know, there's all these different tools out there of looking at personality types or the way that people think. I can't remember the name, but there's one way that you divide people into four types of decision makers. And one is like obligation based. One is reasoning, meaning like I'm more apt to do something if I said I was going to do it, whereas other people are more apt to do it if you explain to them why they should do it. And so, you know, my partner and I are different in this. So we have had challenges where I, you know, say no And then she needs to understand why I said no. And it drives me freaking crazy. And it drives her crazy to just be told no and not understand why. Aida is saying we need to make space that our brains are wired differently. And I think that is one of the core challenges that we have as people, because you only know the way that your brain is wired. And so it is very difficult to put yourself in someone else's situation, including their brain. I think it's pretty easy to, well, not easy, but putting yourself in someone else's shoes is beginner level. It is way more difficult to put yourself in their shoes and then think about it the way that they think about it. It's pretty much impossible. You really have to suspend all of the tools that you use to make sense of the world and try to, like, apply the way someone else makes sense of the world, which is so contradictory or contrary to the way that you interact, that you've functioned your whole life. You take circumstances and you apply all of your tools to it. To try to understand someone else's thought process, you got to look at the circumstance and then what are the tools that they would use to process this? And that's some advanced level human interaction stuff. And I've been slow to embrace things like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram and things like that as tools to understand how that people think differently, or even, you know, zodiac signs, astrology. But I think that those tools are all great ways to do that, to recognize that someone else's filter of their circumstances is different than your filter. In a lot of ways, the human experience is one that I think you kind of want to have it be a learning process. You know, as challenging as last night was, it also was a reminder of what the human experience is supposed to be. Now, if the night ended with me being super angry and judging my partner, then that would have been, hard to justify. But the fact that it became an opportunity for me to see limitations in my communication and for me to see ways that we see the world differently, and, that's what keeps life interesting. Interesting, which is, you know, often a word that people use to describe something that is very challenging or disturbing or not ideal. But it's also not boring. I think I'd rather have interesting over boring. You know, I believe that we are the omnipotent one. And we are all it. And we, as a gift to ourselves, we give ourselves a fractional consciousness experience, which is a human experience, where we experience one thing at a time. We have this very limited experience. We experience time only one experience at a time. We experience place only one experience at a time, which in this incredibly stunted awareness of the universe allows us to have drama and to have excitement and to have discovery and to have romance and to have all the human stuff is unattainable. You can't have those experiences when you're omnipotent, when you're the one. It might be blissful being the one, but it is incredibly boring. It'd be like knowing every movie by heart. You wouldn't want to go to the movies. So we give ourselves human experiences. And this is our a dinner in a movie. When God goes to dinner in a movie, they live a human life. And all of us are the process of ourselves giving ourselves a dinner in a movie. Sometimes we give ourselves a horror movie, and those lives are wretched. Some of them are filled with lessons. Some of them are just like decadent. That's how I see it. Strongly influenced by Alan Watts. almost everything I say is strongly influenced by Alan Watts. This has been a hoot. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for being you. Have a beautiful, beautiful week. I love you. Please subscribe to the Hug Nation YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook. You can check out Halcyon Pink on Instagram, or just listen to the wind and I'll be there. I love you. If you enjoy this, share it with a friend, an open-hearted person who might be part of our wonderful collective Hug Nation family.